Thank you for that song. Amen. Brother Leach, I appreciate that testimony. Wonderful. That is wonderful news. I'm going to write that down. That squeeze the heart. God squeezes the heart, and the eyes and tears come out of the eyes. I got to draw something up around that. That's wonderful. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, we're going to be in Mark this evening, in chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Mark. And we're going to read about a certain widow. Mark chapter 12, and we'll be in verses 41 and 44. I'm going to start off with a sip of water. This passage is beautiful. It's very familiar. The parallel to it is in Luke, if you want to write that down in your notes, in chapter 21. And Mark chapter 12 and 41 through 44. Let's read if we'd stand and give reverence to the Word of God. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the word of God. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity that we again can come into your house, Lord God, and to assemble. And Father, to hear preaching and to hear singing like we've heard. Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the testimony, Lord God, of them 197 souls now on their way to heaven, Father, because of your goodness and your grace. And Father, but it came down to a servant being obedient to that call and working that out, Father, through your spirit and through your strength. Father, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I thank you, Father, for your love, for your grace. Help me now, Lord. You know my needs. And Father, I cast myself upon you. Father, my mouth wants to go so much faster than my thoughts. And Lord, you know what to do. So, Father, I thank and praise you for all that you do, for it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage, it's a message that speaks to generally in giving. It speaks in giving and speaks in charity. It also speaks in sacrifice and in especially our attitude and how we do that. If you look at this and you read again, it talks about how this widow gave, but what was her attitude in her giving is what it really focuses on. And it tells us also that little is much when God is in it. And I would love to hear that song tonight. That would have been perfect. But the little is much when God is in it. Just those two mites that she put into the treasury, and God did something great with that. If you look at it and historically, what we have her testimony right here in the Word of God because of what she did. And that's a wonderful memorial. And it speaks to us in financial terms, but it also speaks to us and to our abilities and our facilities, the things that we have and the things that God has given us. So about those gifts, we all differ, we all have them. If you're a born-again child of God, if you have been saved and born, God has given you a gift. Every one of us have it. There's no one that is not without it. If you know enough to be saved and you have received Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit has sealed you to the day of promise. You are His, and He is going to impart some gift or something, a gift of some sort to give to you that you may share with others. That's what it's all about. It's all about us giving what God has given us and transferring that to someone else that needs it. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says this, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To profit with all, to do something. Some have much, some have a lot, they have great gifts. I mean, we've heard some this morning. We've heard some good preaching around here. We hear some great singing and some great talents. We've heard some great teaching in Sunday school classes. I want to thank Lily this evening for picking up my granddaughter and holding on to her just for a moment, calmed her down. That was necessary. It was a necessary thing. And I appreciate that. Some have much. We have gifts that God has given us. We have monetary wealth. Some of us are really doing well. Some of us are struggling a little bit, but God has given that. He's given us talents, and He's given us abilities to teach. And He's given the ability to something to teach to adults or something to teach to kids or to teens or to children. Somebody's given us musical talent. But we have all been given something. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, It's the Spirit that is dividing to every man severally as he will. We all have that. About our giving, I'm going to really practice. I practiced saying this word for about 3 days, so let's see if we can do it. It's not a quantitative measure. Did I do all right, Brother James? All right, amen. It's not a quantitative measure. It's not the count. And it's not a qualitative measure of how, but it's more how and rather it is a qualitative measure of how and why. It's not measured in the amount that we give. That's obvious in this passage. Two mites are nothing. That's nothing. It's not the amount that we give. It's measured in contrast to get what we have in our hand or what we keep. That's really what it comes down to. If I have these great talents and I have great wealth and I give two mites, well, I'm not doing too well. But if I have two mites and I give all and I throw it all in the treasury, then that surpasses everything that even Jesus said himself. He says that she has given more than all they'd have cast into the treasury, all their wealth and all their good. It surpasses all that because she gave what? She gave all that she had. It's about our giving. Listen, two mites are absolutely nothing. It's a farthing, and a farthing is like a half of a penny, if I got that right. I can tell you a story real quick. When I was in Germany, when I was a kid, and I like to talk to Danny about Germany. We talked about Germany a little bit, and he was in the service, and I was there when I was a kid. My dad was in the Air Force, and we were on a small little outpost in Kastel, Germany. And I remember this, that a nickel, a dime, would buy you all kinds of stuff. I mean, you had all kinds of stuff. I got a nickel would buy you two and a half fudge sickles. You'd have two and a nickel. If you got two nickels rubbed together, you got plenty of fudge sickles. You got, all right, a Coke was a dime, brother, 10 cents. Oh, yeah, a piece of gum, I think you got three pieces of gum for a penny. Boy, you had a party if you had a quarter. You can take care of the whole neighborhood. But, yeah, if you have two nickels rubbed together, you're doing 20 times better than this widow. She had nothing. Real, she had two mites. Listen, it means nothing. Those two mites are nothing. They don't add up to really anything until it is measured against what she had, which was nothing else. That's the key. Then it became greater than what? Greater than all that they gave. She cast in all that she had, even all of her living. So the question tonight is this: which are we? Which we prefer? The two mites? We're all in. First point is Jesus observes, that we see in the beginning of this. In verse 41, I'll read. It says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Jesus was there teaching, but he also was observing. Listen, God watches us. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. He has a great interest in the affairs of his people and how we give and how we use our gifts. Listen, this is funny. I got to tell you this. I was given a Sunday school lesson, and one of the boys, matter of fact, he got saved a couple weeks ago, Tyrese, and I wasn't using big lofty language about omniscience and God sees all and does it, but I was kind of keeping it down where they were at. But I said, God sees everything that we do. He watches over all everything that we have. And he's kind of looked at me with a crunched up face, and then he finally goes, raises his hand, and he goes, "Even in the shower?" So what do you do as a Sunday school teacher? So you just move right along and keep on going. Yeah, you just keep on going. Listen, God observes, he observes us and he watches over us. In 2 Kings 19:27, he tells Hezekiah this. He says, "But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in." In Psalms 34:15, he says, "The eyes of the Lord says, are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." In Psalms 139:1, it says, I love this verse. It says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. But this, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it." Praise the Lord. He knows what's going on. He knows it all together. Listen, this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. A lot of people might cringe to think that God sees everything that they're doing. And some of us might for a little while, but listen, God loves us. He's our Father. He watches over us. He wants to know our affairs. He wants to guide us. He wants to teach us. He wants me to know a better way, brother. He wants to show us a better way. He wants to give us a guidance and direction. He cares where we go, and he cares where we do not go. He wants us to be here tonight, amen. He knows who our friends are, and he watches over who our enemies are. He watches over our conversation and our texting. And what attends to our ears and our eyes, our doing and our idleness, our trials, praise the Lord, and our victories. He watches over those things, our griefs that we bear and our rejoicing. He shares in all of that. He wants to be part of all that. He watches over all these things. He beheld then with this poor widow. He beholds today with us. He watches over us. Verse 41 and 42, it says, And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Before I go any further, I just want to make this clear. Jesus did not rebuke the rich. Be careful with that. He didn't say those nasty rich only gave such and such. No, he didn't do that. They gave in abundance. They gave in much. Praise the Lord for that. They gave in. It's just in contrast to what she gave. That's what matters. That she gave what? Just the two mites? Yes, but it was all that she had. Praise the Lord for that. They gave of their abundance. They cast in much. Now, are they cheerful givers? Or did they give it grudgingly? Well, we don't know about that. But Jesus observes. He observes. He knows. And that's our second point, that Jesus knows. Jesus knows us. He knows this woman. He has known her and knows you and I from the foundations of the world. In verse 43, he says this as we continue. He called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. Look here, I'm going to get to something in just a second. Let me say this first. He knew where she was going to be that day. He knew that she was going to be there. He knew at what place she was going to be there. He knows where we're going. He knows what we're doing and at what time we're doing it. He knew her condition, that she was poor and that she was a widow. He knew that she threw in. She didn't drop it in. She was probably ashamed of what she was doing. If I could get the language, she threw it in there. She threw the two mites in. He knew what it was, that it was all that she had and all her living. Verse 44, and all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want or her penury did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This is an absolute beautiful picture of the deity of Christ, if you ever had one. It really is. Listen, there was no interview after this. There was no time that he came and said, excuse me, can you come over here for a minute? What's your name? Or how much did you give? I mean, he knew these things. He knows everything that she did and everything about her. This is the God-man is watching what's going on, praise the Lord. The language says that. It says that this, he says this, I'll read 43 again. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow, it suggests by the language that it wasn't that poor widow or past tense, but it's a very present tense, isn't it? Now, I looked at the Greek to see if there's any way I could solidify that. But it really doesn't say, because it's just the articles of those words are what they are. They're very general. But the language, the way it's given, is that it's almost as Jesus was going, this poor widow. How did he know her? How did he know how much she gave? How did he know that she was a widow? How did he know? And how he knew? Listen, I tell you what he knew. He knew her husband. He knew who he was. He knew who from she was a little girl all the way up. He knew everything about her. There was no exit poll to find out who she was. God knows her. He knows us. He knows what, listen, he knows her and he knows what we have in store. He knows what we have in our hand. He knows what's in our hand. He knows what he's given us. He knows what he has given us and enriched us and what you and I have to give back to the world in talents and in gifts and in abilities. Excuse me. I don't have to tell you, that's dry as a bone right here. Woo! It started about an hour ago. Amen. He knows our talents. He knows our gifts. He knows our abilities. In Romans 12:5, it says this, So we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, or according to the proportion of faith. Listen up. Here. He knows you can preach. Brother, preach. Preach. He knows you can do it. We've heard it. Preach. He knows you can preach. He knows you can teach. So teach. Teach. Quit sitting around here. Get back there and teach some kid. Amen. Do something. Get on a bus. Sing a song. Do something. Yes. He knows you can sing. He knows you can drive. Get a CDL. Yes. Praise the Lord. We need one. He knows you're an organizer. He knows that you can put things together and get things happening. Do that. Get with some. Listen, there's some people around here that want to do things and are doing things. But boy, if somebody was to step up to them and go, I can help you out here. We were talking about that just a minute ago. Praise the God. Let's have it. Let's have it. Amen. He knows that that you're great with babies and that you're good with kids. He knows that. He knows that you're good with children, with teens, and with the elderly. He knows that. So do it. Let's get on it. Let's do it. He also knows what we are doing with and without those gifts. Or rather, I should say with those gifts, what we're not doing. Are we still hanging on to the two mites? This is the question. Those two pitiful mites, listen, cast them into the treasury of God. And let God do something with them. Go all in. Jesus observes. Jesus knows. And our third point, Jesus remembers. First, let me praise the Lord for this, that he forgets some things too. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Listen, Hebrews 8:12 says this, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and to their sins and to their iniquities. I will remember no more. Who could say hallelujah to that? Amen. Amen. What does he remember? He remembers Abel and his right offering and his blood that cried from the ground. He remembered Noah and the great flood. He remembered Abraham, and especially Isaac, his the firstborn, that was on the altar that God spared with the ram. He remembers Joseph in prison in Egypt. He remembers Moses as he guided his people through the wilderness. He remembers David in the cave of Adullam. He remembers Daniel. Oh, praise God for Daniel, that great visionary with a dream, the dream teller, that listened, that he preached Christ to three separate kings across two empires. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. But listen. He also remembered who? This poor widow. Isn't that wonderful? And he remembers you, and he remembers me. And he remembered her giving, and he remembers our giving. And he remembered her sacrifices, and he remembers our sacrifices. He remembered her faith and our faith. The Lord hasn't forgotten what this poor widow has done, and neither has he forgotten what good you've shown to his name. He has not forgotten that. Praise the Lord for that. I'll read that verse. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's Hebrews 6:10. Likewise, because he remembers us, we ought to remember who we are. That's sometimes we're quick to forget. Listen, we are his beloved church for whom he died. That's who Christ gave his life for. We are light and we are salt in this earth. We are the redeemed and the born again. Listen to this. Jesus Christ and the finished work at the cross and his resurrection. Listen, we are children of God because of that. And if children of this verse coming up says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Did you hear that again? Let's say it one more time. That you are joint heirs with Christ. Think about that for a minute. Romans 8:17. And if children, who we are, if you're saved and born again, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Praise the Lord for that. That is a huge promise and a wonderful comfort to me. How is it that a rotten sinner as myself can be a joint heir with God? Because of Jesus and his mercy and his grace. That's why. Even knowing this, we have the I can'ts. They're still out there. We all have them. I can't do it. I'm fearful. I can't knock on somebody's door. I'm afraid they're going to slam the door in my face. Me and Brother Tim were talking about that not long ago, the other day. That all the times, looks, I haven't knocked on as many doors as some. But many of you all here have really outshined that, and you've gone down the road and really done great work. But the ones that I've knocked on, there's probably been maybe one or two where somebody slammed the door in my face. It just doesn't happen like the people think. I mean, they get scared about it, and they say, oh, I want to do that because I might, you know, they're going to get offended. It really is. Sometimes they say, I don't want to hear it. Goodbye. That's fine. Move on. Praise the Lord. We pray for them. We move on. But as far as like once or twice if somebody got kind of ugly and you just say, praise the Lord, you shake the dust off and psh, you're on your way. That's what you do. Pray for them. Amen. Where'd I go? I lost my place. Excuse me. But listen, we get the I can'ts of ignorance. I don't know how to witness to people. I don't know all that somebody else knows. I'm slow in my speech. We've heard this in the Bible. Well, I don't know how to do these things. And let me tell you something very quickly. You're absolutely right. You don't. But with Christ, we can. With Christ, we can. Our efforts are fruitless without him. We can't do a thing without him. Without Jesus, it's just two skinny little mites. They almost disappear in your fingers if you rub them fast enough. They're gone. But Jesus says this in John 15:5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. We can't do a thing with him. Now let's flip it. Praise the Lord. But with Christ and his blessing, he blesses them two mites beyond measure. They become all in when they go into the treasury of God. And he says this in Philippians 4:13. This is Tim's favorite verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's the contrast. We can't do nothing without him, and he promises you can with me. You can with me. Jesus remembers. Or rather, Jesus observes. He knows. He remembers. And then Jesus rewards. This will be our last point. First, I want to say this. This is the easiest part of this message right here. Jesus rewards. How wonderful it is that God has been to us. And he just keeps giving. I could talk about, I'd have to go on for another few more hours. to talk about God's blessing in my life and what he's done. Not just to the rewards to what the work has done. He's just because he's graceful and he's good. And I don't deserve a thing. I'll tell you right now. He has just blessed my family. He's blessed my wife and my children. We got grandchildren. They're adorable. We had them here today. And little Aubrey, boy, she was something. She was crying today. And something had took place, and she wanted to go home, and tears are running down her face. And I'm wiping her little tears, you know, and I'm saying, it's okay, and all that. And then finally, we talked to her for a few minutes, and Sherry, our daughter, got on the phone and kind of calmed her down. She's funny. She'll be like, she's just all distraught. All of a sudden, she just turns the switch. Okay, you know, back to class. Here we go. You know, okay, good. You got to hurry up and do it before she changes her mind. You know, get her over there. Get her off. And Lily was standing around the corner, and I said, Lily, and she goes, bring her to me. I got her. I said, praise the Lord. I give it to her. That right there is a wonderful blessing. I'm telling you. You just don't understand what that did. And then she got on her way. She got into her class. She got with the kids, and everything is wonderful. She's on the bus, kicking the seat, and just having a ball. Everything's wonderful. But look, I could talk about God's blessing and all the things that he's done in my life and our life. I can go on and on and on. But let me just say this. The Lord is my reward. He's my reward. God is my reward. And he tells Abraham that in Genesis 15:1. He says, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God is so good to us. That's all I got to have. I ain't got to have another thing. I don't have to have another thing. If I get nothing else, if I have nothing else, I have Jesus. And I have eternity with him. Listen, there's nothing else I need. And listen, we know nothing about this poor widow, any of her history. We really don't know her name or anything else. God knows her name. Her name has been hidden with him. Praise the Lord, and memorialized right here in this word. Just right here in this word. God knows who she is. I don't need to know her name. He's going to keep that to himself. But he knows who she is. And we don't know what happened later on to her. We don't know if she went off and died that very day. Just exactly what Brother James spoke about today. The things that happen in our lives, they're drastic, and some things are hard. But listen, they all have purpose, and God's behind it all, and he's taking care of us. We don't know. We don't know if she became a big, successful, married a rich athlete and had 25 kids. We don't know. We don't know. But what we know is that she's memorialized and she's with the Lord right here. Listen, that's where she is. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be remembered. This message isn't to shame us into service, but the shame is this, that we don't. That's the shame. Who doesn't want to hear this? In Matthew 25:21, as the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, of thy Lord. I'm going to close with this quote. So bear with me. It's a little long. But boy, it blesses my heart. What amazing condescension it is that God, who made all things, should assume the nature of one of his own creatures. That the self-existent should be united with the dependent and derived, and the almighty linked with the feeble and the mortal. In his incarnation, our Lord Jesus Christ descended to the very depths of humiliation by entering into alliance with a nature which did not occupy the chief place in the scale of existence. It would have been marvelous condescension for the infinite and incomprehensible Jehovah to have taken upon himself the nature of some noble spirit being, such as a seraph or a cherub. The union of the divine creator with any created spirit would have been an immeasurable stoop, but for God to become one with man is far greater condescension. I am persuaded that no man has any adequate idea how wonderful a stoop it was for God thus to dwell in human flesh and to be God with us. And then finish this. Yet to realize in it something that is still more remarkable. Remember that the creature whose nature Christ took Remember that the creature whose nature Christ took was a being who had sinned against him. I can more readily conceive of the Lord taking upon himself the nature of a race which had never fallen. But lo, man stood in rebellion against God, and yet a man did Christ become, that he might deliver us from the consequences of our rebellion and lift us up to something higher than our pristine purity. Oh, the depths is all that we can say as we look on the marvel at this stoop of divine love. That is C.H. Spurgeon. What a wonderful truth. That is just it. God came down in the likeness of man, in the likeness of flesh. He took on flesh. He was all God and all man at the same time. He was the Word of God, or the Logos, was united with itself. Listen, I'm saved by his coming. I'm saved by his life. I'm saved by his death. I'm saved by his resurrection. I'm saved by his love. It ought to be incomprehensible to us, that list, that what God has done and what he has given and what he has shared and all that he has gone through, that I should do nothing else but live for him. Let us honor the Lord with all that he has blessed us with. Let's take those two mites and get them in the treasury. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love and grace. Father, we're thankful, Father, for the word of God. We're thankful for the wonderful day of preaching. Lord, I just want to praise you for it. I want to thank you, Lord, for the singing and the lifting up of your name. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the goodness has gone on here today, for the buses. We had 47 on our buses today. We had just a good day, Father. I want to praise you for it. But, Lord, even when the day goes bad and it goes down, Lord, if I have nothing else, Lord Jesus, I have you. I have heaven as my home. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Father, for all that you've given. And I praise you for it in the name of Jesus.